Max Licata's book entitled 316 focuses in on just one single simple verse from the Bible. It is one of the verses that I taught my children. For God so loved the world. Many theologians believe this to be the single most significant sentence in all of Scripture and the totality of the gospel in a nutshell. Many have commented that they love this passage because it shares God's great love for us and our great need for Him. Anne Graham Lotz described it as the North Star of the Bible. Perhaps because of its simplicity, perhaps because of its ease of memorization, preschoolers can recite it. Football fans painted on cardboard signs. And for those who are rookies to the Bible, 316 is the place to begin because it encapsulates the gospel message of love, of faith, of believing. Today, our reading from John begins with a silent figure moving through the darkened streets of Jerusalem. Some might coin him Nick at night. He is Nicodemus, a Pharisee, one of the religious elite of the day, and one who also rejected Christ. But at this point in our gospel, we find a different Nicodemus, one who perhaps has been pondering the ministry of Jesus, and even might recall the scene from the money changers in the temple. Or perhaps his curiosity has the best of him, because of what he heard about a dinner party where Jesus changed water into wine. Whatever happened, Nicodemus could not reconcile all of what he heard and witnessed. Whatever it was, it is in the darkness that Nicodemus now seeks Christ, because he has discovered that Jesus is a teacher, and he believes Jesus is from God. So in the shadows of darkness, Nick at night seeks counsel from Christ. I believe on that day, Nicodemus was given the hope that we all are given, the opportunity for renewal, the opportunity to be born again, the opportunity to open ourselves fully to Christ. John does not tell us if this encounter changed Nicodemus in any way, but we do know he received a message of love and salvation. And so today, we too must be reminded that the message of the God who loves the world is not simply a theory for salvation. It is specific. It runs deep within and throughout our communities. And lest we not forget, even today, that love thing, God meant it. Because God truly loves the entire world and all of its inhabitants. My sisters and brothers in Christ, we too are called into the very depths of this type of love, where we must develop intentional practices to care for one another, surpassing any and all boundaries which attempt to sway us away from the light and love of our Creator. Today, we must be reminded of this all-inclusive love, which includes the least of these, those who sit at the margins, the invisible people we shun and turn away from. God loves each of them. God loves those who are fearful of deportation. God loves our sisters and brothers who are being singled out as criminals based upon color, culture, or alternative lifestyle. God loves the brave women who march and the men who stand beside them. God loves our Jewish brothers and sisters for their perseverance and loyalty to the God of Israel. And God loves our Muslim sisters and brothers vilified for their devotion and obedience. And so this evening I invite us to bear witness to what it means to not just know that God truly loves the world, but for us to demonstrate the same type of love throughout our lives today. I invite us to bear witness in knowing that no matter what we do or what is done to us, no matter where we are, God loves and cares for all creation. And if our God offers this type of unconditional love, then we too must reciprocate. This type of love offering may sound as simple as the first three words of John 3:16, but quite often we don't dig deep enough into it to test the waters of our faith and our commitment to God. Sometimes we forget that we too must love as God loves. Often we forget that it is through love in which we build and maintain relationships, and it is through love in which we create an offering to the world, which reflects images of God. Today, we must continue to lay the foundation for what a loving and accepting world might look like for our children and for our children's children. My sisters and brothers in Christ, this is the type of love the world truly needs right now. And just as our fiery presiding bishop recently reminded the entire world, I dare to quote, there is power in love to help and heal when nothing else can. There is power in love to lift up and liberate when nothing else will. There is power in love to show us the way to love. There is power in love. There is no greater power on earth than love. Love is who we are. It is our state of being. And when we partner up with love, our lives begin to magically transform in ways we could never dream of. And as Louis Armstrong sang, what a wonderful world this will be. There is a book by Shel Silverstein, which I used to read to my kids, and it's summarized somewhat in this way, about the great love between an apple tree and a little boy. Throughout the life of the tree, she gives a little boy apples to pick and branches to climb. The boy and the tree love each other and are happy in their life together. And then the boy matures and he visits the tree often, always receiving love and care and all of his heart's desires. Year after year, the tree empties itself of all its resources, so that the boy can be happy. But it is never enough. Yet still the tree gives until she has given all of herself to the boy. Now the giving tree is somewhat of a love story, but a bit one-sided, where one person constantly receives. It is a great example of how love is not just about what we receive. Love is about giving what we have just in the name of love, and just as the apple tree. Love in action teaches us that we are not only to be receivers, but we are also called to be givers. But how often is our relationship with God and neighbor reflected in this way? The apple tree is not the only giving tree. It is not the only tree which loves so much that it would offer all it had, even if it meant giving its son. No, there's another tree which gave freely of itself. It gave body and blood, love and mercy, forgiveness and compassion, acquittal and freedom. And that tree is the gift which keeps on giving day in and day out, so that we might experience a new life, a forgiven life, a cleansed life. This particular giving tree offers an everlasting invitation of love, if we would yet believe. May we remember that it has always been God's intent to be in relationship with us, giving, receiving, sharing, and allowing love to flow throughout us and into the world, inviting others to taste and see God's goodness and realizing its precious cost. Each day, as we pick up the towel and basin as disciples of Christ, may we recall that God has given us the perfect example of unconditional love through Christ Jesus. And may we each, in the name of love, go and do likewise. Amen.